Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I would invite you to go to John 17 again this evening. We were there Sunday morning, if you remember, talking about a better life through knowing God. And so I want to go back to that foundation scripture. We're going to look at some other scripture tonight, but I want to go back and read that just launch off from there. And John, and I've preached on this a lot over the years. I began preaching on these things way back, you know, in the 80s, 90s, and talking about, you know, knowing God. And so let's look at this in John 17, 3. And verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal," or we sometimes say eternal life, "that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Well, I want to talk about this. You know, we talk about this life eternal a little bit. And in case you don't know, a lot of times we think about eternal life, we think about living forever. Well, everybody's going to live forever. Yeah. One place or the other. Yeah. Heaven or hell, you're going to live forever somewhere. Yeah. And so you make that choice while you're on the earth.
That's right.
Right? Once you leave the earth, you lose your choices. You're now going one place or the other.
Right.
And so... And if he said, "Well, I don't believe that," well, you better hope you're right. But I just believe what the Bible says, yeah. And so I believe that. And so, it's what the Word teaches. And so we make our decision now, but a lot of times what happens is believers get born again and they receive eternal life. But Jesus said, eternal life, which is the eternal life, let me say this, it's the life like God has it. Yeah. W. Vines defines it that way in his expository dictionary, life as the Father has, right? Which he's given to the Son to have in himself. And the Son has given it to us. He said, "I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly," right? Yeah. So you have to, you know, you can get born again, you have life, but there's an abundant life that God has for us. So, like one brother said one time, I love this when he said it. He said, you know, the Bible says, "I've come that you might have life, comma, and life more abundantly." He said, we need to cross the comma. All right, when we get born again, we get life, but there's an abundant life that God has for us. He's got heaven for us to go to heaven in.
Amen.
He does. He's got heaven for us to go to heaven in. And so you say, "Well, my life's not that way." Well, I'm not saying that you'll be without any challenges in life. You never will, but you'll be victorious.
Right.
You know, when sickness tries to come, God's provided healing.
Yes. Right.
When lack tries to come, God's provided provision.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When oppression or depression tries to come, God's provided joy.
Yes.
Amen. When disturbing things happen, God's provided peace that passes all understanding. In other words, you can't figure out why I got peace, but I got peace.
Yeah.
Amen. And so in other words, what Jesus is, eternal life is, it's not just a time span. It's a quality of life. It's a quality of life. It's a higher quality of life than what you have in the natural life. Amen? And so I have a message. I haven't preached it in a long time, but on the high life. And it's not Miller. Amen. Jesus said, "You," in Psalm 16, he said, "You will show me," talking to the Father, "the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So you stay close to God, there's a fullness of joy. There's pleasures forevermore. Whoo, hallelujah. And I know that's true because I've been having a lot of pleasure over the last 40 years of serving God. Amen. A lot of pleasure. Praise God. And it's not just based on my circumstances. It's based on this eternal life. So what I wanted to talk to you about then is this, that, you know, when you get saved, you get eternal life. But so many believers, you know, we have so many churches are just full of people that they got saved. They're going to heaven, but that's as far as they've ever gone. Now, there's a lot of places they're not even saved. You know, they don't know about the new birth. But there are a lot of Christians that are born again. They're going to heaven. If they should die, they'd go to heaven. But they haven't pursued knowing God intimately. See, when the Bible talks about, you know, when Jesus said you would know God, he said this is eternal life, that you would know the only true God in Jesus Christ who he has sent. It's not like a casual knowing. It's an intimate knowing. See, right. And you know, you don't know somebody intimately unless you spend time with them. Right. See, I've got friends that, you know, I've been around them for years, and I know what they like. I know what they don't like. Where, you know, other people say, well, I know them. You might say, you know, Miss Phyllis. Well, you know her, but not like I know her. Right. I know her because we've lived together all these years. So I know her. Amen. And she knows me. And you might say, well, I know Pastor. Well, yeah, you know me, but not like she knows me, right? See, I've got friends that I've been friends with for a long time. Well, I know them. I know pretty much what they like and what they don't like, you know. You know, I got certain friends that they don't like Chinese food. I thought about dumping them, but, you know, I haven't. I mean, how could you be human and not like Chinese food? I mean, what's wrong with you? But I got one pastor and his wife. I don't know about the wife so much, but I don't think the guy likes Chinese food. So we never mentioned that, you know, of going there. I just know that's not going to fly because I know them, see. And so I hear people say that God will do this and God will do that. And I have no, they don't know God. I've heard preachers really over the last many years talk about things that God's okay with, and I'm thinking they don't know God. Because he's not okay with any kind of darkness. The Bible says in him is no darkness at all. You know what that means, at all? In the Greek, not even a minute particle. It's not there. So I'm thinking, you tell me you know God, but I know you don't know him because I do know him. It's like a church group one time told Brother Hagin, they said, we just want to talk to you. He didn't really want to talk to him because he knew they wanted to argue. But he did, and they said, now, if you're saved, we're not. That's what I told Brother Hagin. I loved his answer back. He said, that's the best indication I've ever had that you're not saved. Because I know I am. How many feel that way? Yeah. Not in an arrogant way, but the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons of God. That he put a spirit inside us that cries out, Abba, Father. There's an intimacy there. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ on December 20th of 1981, and I came home that night, I knew I was saved. I had no doubt. I had no doubt something had happened on the inside of me. But the Spirit was letting me know. He was witnessing to me. You're a child of God. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so there's this intimacy that God wants us to have. But how many know we got to know him? Amen. We got to get to know him. Amen. And we do that by fellowshipping with him. Amen. By his word, by worship, by prayer, you know, by spending time with him, by being in his house. Amen. You say, well, I don't have to go to church. I can be just as good a Christian as anybody can. Yeah, well, you know, you're already disobeying one scripture. Right. Amen. Plus other. I don't get these guys that I've heard them say, I don't need anybody over me. I don't need to go to the local church. And why does the Bible say obey those that have the rule over you? Well, who's got the rule over you? Right. Nobody. You're way out of line, friend. Look. You know what? If you don't open your mouth, nobody knows. how ignorant you really are. Isn't that awesome? You know, certain times, you're around certain people, and they know about things. I just keep my mouth shut so they don't know I'm stupid about it. I'm ignorant about it. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I know some things, but not everything. Amen. There's something I don't know. So let's just keep my mouth shut, and nobody will know. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, because we want to look at some things tonight. I don't know how much scripture we'll get to, but I want to look at some things tonight. Let's go there, Hebrews chapter 5, and read something there. We're just talking about a better life through knowing God. I know my life, you know, I could have gotten born again and given my life to Jesus and then stopped right there. But I decided to pursue God. I decided to pursue knowing Him. Amen. There's not anybody any better to know. I was reading there, it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And I thought, well, who wouldn't want more of that? It just, you know, maybe you thought of this before, but this was years ago. I thought of this. I thought, you know what? When I read the Word of God, God's Word, I am now thinking a thought that God has thought.
Amen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That you can think. Remember, God said in Isaiah, my thoughts, they're higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But He gave us His Word so we could think His thoughts. So we could walk in His ways. See? So when I read the Bible, I'm reading God's thoughts. What His thoughts are about certain things. See? What He thinks about it. See? And it's higher than my thoughts. That's why I want His thoughts to become my thoughts. Thoughts become ways. I mean, if you think something long enough, yeah, how many of you gotta, if you think something, you're going to end up doing it. You keep thinking it, you know. I mean, just like my biggest challenge with food, in case you want to know, is late night. When I say late night, Pastor Chuck's already in bed. And when, you know, I'm thinking about food when he's asleep. Okay. So I'm sitting there late night, and I think, I've already had enough. I've already had enough. And I get to thinking about, well, you know, this is in the pantry. And I keep thinking about it. And I keep thinking, next thing you know, I'm downstairs. Because the thought became a way. Amen. How many can follow that? See, you keep thinking things long enough, you're going to end up doing it. What do you think advertising's for? Right? What's it for?
Absolutely.
To put thoughts in your mind to change your ways.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You see a billboard, you know, best ribs in town.
Yeah.
What do you want to go do? Try them.
Yeah.
Well, they got, if you, see, the devil knows this. If he can get a hold of your mind, he can direct your paths.
That's right.
See? But if God can get a hold of your mind, He can direct your paths. Amen. Because your mind makes your decisions in life. That's why you have to renew your mind. And that's why you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if your spirit man, who's been born again in the image of God, always made your decisions, you'd always make the right ones. Because your spirit man's made in the likeness and image of God when he was born again. You became a new creature. Created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians says. But it's not him that's making the decisions. And it's really, you know, it's not your flesh as much as you'd like to think that. Your flesh has a very loud voice, but it's your mind that pulls the trigger. So you got your spirit man talking to your mind and your flesh talking to your mind. That's why your mind has to be renewed to side in with the spirit man who's on the side of God, who has the Holy Spirit living inside of him, who will always steer you right because the Spirit of God's living inside of you. Amen. Your body will take you the wrong direction,
yep.
But your mind is the deciding factor. And that's why you have to renew your mind. That's why transformation comes when you start renewing your mind. When you start fellowshipping with God, you start getting to know God, you start knowing His ways, it starts renewing your mind, see? And you start thinking, in life the same way God thinks about things in life. And when you do that, radical transformation is coming. God doesn't think the same way that the world thinks about finances. He doesn't think the same way about health as the world thinks. He doesn't think the same thing about marriage as the world thinks. No offense, but if your marriage counseling comes from Oprah, you've got a problem. No disrespect to her, but we better get it from the Word of God. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just simply saying the Word is our, as believers, we got something that's higher than what the world has to offer. You can go lay on a couch if you want to, but I'd rather lay in the Word. I don't know if you got that or not, but you know, they'll go back and, well, you know, you got slapped when you was a kid, and that's why you're messed up. Really, there's people that are that, you know, they're trying to help people, I guess, but, you know, they're just that far off. They're just way off course. The truth of the matter is, all you need to do is renew your mind, and it'll straighten everything out. I understand some people have been through hell and back. I've heard people's stories and testimonies, and when I hear it, I think, well, it's no wonder they were messed up. But you don't have to stay messed up.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, I can understand why it messed you up, but God can straighten that out. I mean, we were dealing with a guy one time, and he just did all kinds of things that were just, and I'm like, why does this guy do this stuff? You know, why? You know, and I'd chew on him and love on him and chew on him and love on him and chew on him and love on him, you know? And, you know, you got to kind of balance it a little bit. You know, I think I probably did a lot of chewing, but I did a lot of loving too. And then one day somebody told me his story and what had happened to him as a child. And I thought, it's no wonder this guy is like he is, because he got really screwed up when he was a kid. He was just abandoned by his mother. And just left, man, and she just took off and left him, and that could mess you up. But here's what I know. We can't use that as an excuse to stay messed up. God's given us, amen, promises in His Word, amen, that will redeem us from all of that. We got to renew our mind with God's Word, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You know, I knew a guy, he's an evangelist, he's passed on, went to heaven now, but I knew him for a number of years, and he got saved, you know, and his dad was a pastor. He got saved, his dad was a pastor, but his dad was a good old denominational pastor, but he went to some, you know, charismatic meetings and got baptized in the Holy Ghost and started speaking with tongues. And his dad kicked him out of the house. And the Lord gave him a scripture in Psalms. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He said, I read that scripture. He got a phone call, and he said, this couple said, I don't know why we're calling you, but we just feel led to call you. Would you like to come and live with us for a while? Would that be a problem with your mom and dad? He said, no, I don't think that'd be a problem. God was looking out, wasn't he?
Sure.
You know, his mother and father forsook him over something like that because he got more of God than they had. And they kicked him out. You know, Charles Trombley, he wrote a book, Kicked Out of the Kingdom. Pastor Brad, you may remember him. And, you know, he was around. He's probably in heaven now. But he wrote a book. I read his book, Kicked Out of the Kingdom. You know, his child got healed of a club foot, and they kicked him out of his church. Said the devil did it. You know, the devil's going around healing all that are oppressed of him. Come on, you read that scripture, right, in Acts? How the devil went around healing everybody's oppressed. No, you didn't read that scripture because it's not in there. Jesus did that. All right, so they kicked him out of his church. I was like, well, thank God with a church like that, they did you a favor. They did you a favor, brother. Just rejoice, find you a good church. Amen. So here in Hebrews, let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 5, look with me at verse number 11. The Bible says, Paul said, to the Hebrews, he said, of whom we have many things to say, talking about Melchizedek, and hard to be uttered since you're dull of hearing. I've often read that scripture, and I've thought, I wish they wouldn't have been so dull of hearing so we could know more about Melchizedek. Paul said, I can't tell you because you're dull of hearing. How many know? You can get dull of hearing. He's talking to Christians. How many know that? He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to believers. And he said, you're dull of hearing. He's not talking about natural hearing. He's talking about your spiritual hearing. Why is it? Because they've not been pursuing God. They've not been fellowshipping with Him. They've not been getting intimate with Him. And it's made them dull of hearing. How many know? If you're going to hear me, you got to be close enough to hear me. The people in the mall right now are not hearing me. They're not close enough. Amen. How many ever saw the time that Ernest T. Bass, how many know who he is? How many ever saw the time he wanted to join the army? He didn't really want to go in the army. He just wanted the uniform. He was going to get the uniform and go home. But he signs up, he goes to the recruiting office. All the guys are in there, and they're giving them physicals. And the doctor says, he asks Ernest, he said, now, repeat after me. And he's given numbers like 32. Ernest T goes 32. So the doctor starts, he's got his back to Ernest T, so he starts to walk away, get away from him to see if he can still hear. 74, 52, 39, 61. Ernest T's saying all of them. He turns around, and Ernest T has followed him all the way over across the room. So this doctor says to him, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be over there. He said, if I'd been over there, I might not have heard you. It was so funny. It was such a funny scene. Well, the thing's true about God. If you're far away, you're dull of hearing. Why is it some people go to church, same people, same, you know what I mean? They go to church, some get blessed, some don't get a thing. It's dull of hearing. You cannot feed people that are full of the world, full of themselves, full of natural things. The Bible says, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. But to the full soul, even a honeycomb, he loathes that, doesn't even want a honeycomb. Well, have you ever gotten so full of natural that even good things turned your stomach? Am I the only one that ever overeats, or every time I go to Golden Corral? It's like this place is not, it's not good for men to be left alone there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, see, I never go, I know some people never go to Golden Corral. Our son says it's, what does he call it? A feeding trough. Golden Corral. Anyway. But I'm just different. I'm country. I like everything on there just about. And it's like, I want to try everything on there. You know what I'm saying? And then sometimes after you're done, it's like, ugh, what'd I do that for? I don't like this place. Let's get out of here. Why? You loathe it now. You're too full of stuff. See, people get so full of the world. They get so full of themselves. They get so full of natural things, just doing them all the time, that it really drives out the spiritual hunger. See, Jesus said that to the church in Laodicea. He said, you're full. You say you're rich and have need of nothing, and don't know that you're miserable, blind, and naked. You don't know you have a need because you're so full of yourself that you don't see it. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying this church, you're dull of hearing. Notice what else he said. Verse 12, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which would be the first principles of the oracles of God. See, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So Paul is simply telling this church, you should have already grown beyond where you're at. See, but he said, you still need me to teach you the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, how many of you, that's okay if you're a baby. But we need to, see what I'm saying? When we talk about eternal life, we don't want to just stop at the born-again experience. As great, as wonderful, as needy as that is, there's more. These people had just stopped. And Paul said, you still need milk and not meat. Well, you know, you got to grow to eat meat, right? You know, you see your kids or your grandkids as they progress. They come into this world. They live off of milk, you know. And then after a while, you know, I know our latest great-granddaughter, I've gotten pictures of her, videos of her trying food, you know, for the first time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden, she starts noticing, hey, they got something different on their plate. And I don't know, I think it was a strawberry she had. And man, she had that thing just going at it, you know. No teeth, but you know what I'm saying. She was giving it what for, you know. Why? Because she's going to the place where she's growing. And I'm sure she's there now. We don't see them very often. But we're, you know, they're going from just milk. But you know, there's a lot of believers who are just still on milk. They're still babes. Why? Because they haven't pursued the knowledge of God. They got saved. They're going to heaven. But they're sure missing out a lot right now that they could be walking in and have. Yeah. Amen. I don't know about you. You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay for babies to have bottles of milk, right? But how many think it'd be a little bit off if Miss K and Pastor Jerry were standing around and all of a sudden Miss K said, well, we got to go. I got to give Pastor Jerry his bottle of milk. I got to give him his bottle. I mean, we're going to think something's wrong with Pastor Jerry. Let me tell you something. I know Pastor Jerry. He eats meat. Amen. He's grown beyond that. How many? Paul's making that comparison in the spirit that there's people that are still, I'm having to give you a bottle and burp you. And I ought to be able to feed you a T-bone steak. Come on. Right? That's what he's saying. So he simply say, look, these people, in other words, they got born again, they got saved, but they stopped. They didn't go any further. But Jesus said, this is life eternal. You want to experience the God kind of life? You get it by knowing me and the Father. By keep pursuing after the knowledge of God. That's one thing that I learned young as a Christian, you know. I just was hungry for God. I'm not bragging on myself, but it's just my testimony that, man, I just went after God. I mean, I studied His Word hours upon hours and just, and I know everybody can't. You got jobs. I understand that. But you still got time to grow. Amen? You still got time to grow. It's amazing how much preaching you can get in just in your bathroom.
That's right.
You mean you have a CD player in the bathroom? Yes. I know CDs are out, but maybe you use your phone. I'm still old-fashioned. I still have cassettes if we could get away with it. Amen. You could stop them, and they stayed put. Right? I remember the cassette days. I tell you, one of the funniest ones I had an old one, and the guy preaching, I think it was Brother Copeland, he said, in the beginning, God said, please turn the tape over for the conclusion. I thought, is that what God said in the beginning? I thought he said, let there be light. He said, turn the tape over. You realize, really, honestly, this is the truth. Cassette tapes survived because of the church. Really, that's the truth. Because we consumed, in our days, we consumed so many of those. Come on, anybody remember what I'm talking about? I mean, we would buy them by the, when we first started our church, we'd buy them by the hundreds. We just couldn't keep them in. People would buy them so much, you know, and all. And then we moved on to CDs, and now it's, you know, it's your phone and whatever. But, you know, however you digest it, you need to digest it.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So here's what Paul's saying now. He's simply saying to this church, he's saying, you should be farther along than what you are. Amen? But notice what else he said. He said that verse 14, let's look at that again. He said, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, or those that are, you know, complete mature, even those who by reason, notice this, of use, reason of use of the word, the meat, the strong meat, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many know as you continue to grow in the Lord, you get your senses, your spiritual senses trained. The word exercise means trained to discern good and evil. When you're a baby, you don't always know what's good for you and what's bad for you. You know, babies will pick up anything on the floor and eat it. That's why you got to keep the small stuff off the floor. I mean, they'll pick up, a Cheerio or a spider and put it in their mouth. I remember one time when we were, I got a younger brother. He's about 8 years younger than me. But one time when he was about, I don't know, he was just in diapers, just walking. We're down at Kentucky Lake, and he's chasing a frog. And all of a sudden he goes, yuck! And my aunt, like, oh my gosh, he just ate a frog. I don't know what he put in his mouth, but it wasn't a frog. But he'd put something in there. But kids will put anything in there. Yeah, people that are young in the Lord, they'll put anything in their mouth. They don't have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. But as you grow, you get to know the Lord, you start getting discernment built into you. And you learn stuff. That's something's not right about that. Something's not right. And you just leave it alone. Amen. The Bible talks about in Judges that when they came over to the promised land and Joshua got old, that Joshua died, and all that generation that knew the Lord, with Joshua, all the elders and all, and the people that saw the great signs and wonders that God did, they all died out and said there arose another generation which did not know the Lord. And it said they served the gods of the land. See, we see that in the church today, that there's so many in the church that don't know the Lord, and they, where it says they serve the gods of the people of the land, it actually says they serve the gods of the people that were round about them. They start serving their gods. We see that in the church today. The people they don't know the Lord, and now they're valuing what the world values. What the world's valuing, some in the church are valuing. And I'm thinking, this is against God's will. Amen. And so, this, and I know they don't know the Lord. Because if you know the Lord, you know He still loves you, but He doesn't want you fellowshipping with darkness. Amen. So that's why we have to renew our minds with the Word, so we're not conformed with the world, right? And I love this. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says that this new covenant, we're beholding like in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're changed into the same image that we're seeing from glory to glory. As you behold the Word, how many know you're beholding God's glory?
Yes, right.
People used to teach, when you behold the Word, when you look into the Word, you see your old ugly self. Well, let me tell you something. The Word's not written about your old ugly self. It's written about the glory of the Lord. That's what Paul said it is. Now, the reason why you may see your ugly self is because that glory will show how ugly you are, right?
Yeah.
See, Phyllis always says it's too dark under the pulpit. We need more light there. And I tell her, the darker it is, the better I look. We don't need to shine more light on this mug, all right? Right? I look better under dim lights. You don't have to say amen. You do too. The more light you put on something, the more imperfections show up. Amen. I mean, I've gone into where there's a mirror and it's kind of dim in there. I think, I don't look too bad. I'm still holding it together pretty good. And then I go into a place where it's like an operating table. I'm like, man, you are ugly. You need some help, man. Pray for yourself. That's what happens when you look in the Word. The glory. It's not that God's condemning you. It's that you still see you need some work. Now, not in your spirit, man. He's been made in the image and likeness of God, right? He's perfect. But you still got some work to do in renewing the mind and keeping your flesh under. Amen. And see, you know, when I first got saved, there's a lot of things I didn't know was even wrong. I mean, I didn't have the greatest attitude sometimes. You know, Phyllis said, I would have never married you before you were saved. She said, you were too cocky. You were too, I guess, whatever. But, you know, Susie liked me. She's my sister-in-law. Praise the Lord. I think you liked me in those days, didn't you, Susie? We got along good. Her and Randy. But, you know, I had an edge on me at times. Not with people that I loved or liked, but people that maybe I didn't know, and they would do something to me, and I could snap pretty quickly. But, you know, the people that were family and all, I was pretty sweet to them most of the time, nice. But, you know, as I got saved, God began to deal with me. Don't say that to people. Don't call people that. Don't do that. Amen. And he began to, aren't you glad he does that? He didn't leave you in the mess, you, right? Amen. You know, I mean, no, you're the problem. It's like one woman was praying over her husband. Remember, she said she praying about God fixing her husband, and the Lord said, he's not the problem. She goes, well, who is then? Get a clue. It's like a guy told me. I'm not making this up. People, this guy told me, he said, my wife has been in 4 churches, and none of those people get along with her. Wait a minute here, the common denominator is your wife. One guy told a pastor friend of mine, he said, I've been married 4 times. None of those women are any good. Women aren't any good. He really told this pastor friend of mine. He said, all women are bad. I've been married 4 times. None of them were good. Good pastor. He said, did you ever think, brother, that you're the common denominator in all those marriages? Well, I never thought of that. I mean, sometimes we just need the light of the word to show things up. See, as you pursue knowing God, as you pursue knowing him, you know, he's not there to condemn you. He's not there to beat you up. He's not there. You know, that's the devil. That's condemnation. But he will, at times, bring things to your attention that'll destroy you and hurt your life. He did me. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't talk that way. Amen. Pay your taxes. Well, that hit a dead spot, but praise the Lord. My wife made me do that. You know what I'm saying? I would go out and preach, you know, and I was preaching. I would go out and get love offerings and stuff from churches, you know. And so, you know, after we got married, I'm still doing that. I'm going to churches and get love offerings, and I'm not paying any taxes on it. She says, you're supposed to pay taxes on it. I said, that's my money. She says, you're still supposed to pay. No, I don't pay taxes. We had a discussion about this, you know. I don't pay taxes on that. That's my money. I mean, all right, you know, if I work 9 to 5, yeah, I pay taxes on that. But this is other stuff. I go out and get this on my own. Just for the IRS that's watching, I pay taxes on now. And you can thank this woman right here. Praise the Lord. Because if it hadn't been for her and the Holy Ghost, I probably still wouldn't. But how many of you should, right? You should. Amen. I'm just kind of having some fun with you, kind of. Anyway.
I didn't say you had to like it.
Yeah, she didn't say I had to like it. And I came up with an idea, you know, why don't we do that with tithing? You know, the government doesn't trust you. Why should we trust people? We'll take your tithe out before you get your cash or check. Well, that went over big. Praise the Lord. That was a joke, by the way. Some of you thought I was serious. I did know a guy one time in the city where we lived. He started teaching his church that tithe is 20%. Well, that's a good revelation, brother. Yeah. But tithe happens to mean 10%. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he thought this would be a good revelation to tell him it's 20%. How many know? The Word of God, everything the Word of God tells us to do, how many know it's for our benefit? Yes. God doesn't tithe just so you'll sweat BBs. He wants to bless you, right? He doesn't ask you to do anything that's for your detriment. It's always for your good. And sometimes it's not always what you in the natural want to do, but it's the best thing for you. So here this church is. We're closing this with this. But here this church is. This church, I don't know how long these believers have been saved, but Paul says, you're still babes. Right? He said, you still need milk. He told the church at Corinth like that. He said that to them. He said, you know, I'd like to feed you with meat, but you're not able to bear it. Wouldn't that be awful? The Apostle Paul came to your church and said, I can't tell you everything I need to tell you because you couldn't handle it. Amen. And no, if you're a pastor and you know, just being a believer, you know new believers can't handle everything. You got to kind of take them a little bit at a time. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Well, but once you've been saved for a while, like Paul told this church, you ought to be beyond this point. You should, amen, get to know God. Not just get saved, but get to know Him. I learned this. When I first got saved, I learned I had to do two things if I was going to be victorious in my Christian life. I knew this. Number one, I got to keep my mind renewed with God's Word. Number two, I have to stay full of the Holy Spirit through my prayer life. I learned that. I came out of not so good a lifestyle. And I knew. I have to do certain things or I'll end up back there. It's too strong of a pull. Amen. So on Friday nights, when I was normally out partying, I was in my Bible. My mind was still going wacko. It was still saying, my mind was telling my mind, you've lost your mind. Mind, you've lost your mind. That's what I tell you. You've lost your mind. Here you are reading the Bible. It's Friday night. Don't you know where you're supposed to be? And I had to just, but here's what I learned. Greater is He that's in me and He that's in you and He that's in the world. Amen. And all I got to do is put that book inside of me and the greater one that's in me will bring it back to my remembrance. And I put a sword in His hand to fight with. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How does the Spirit get the sword placed in His hand? Well, this may surprise you, but we do it. Because if He did it on His own, we'd all be magnificently blessed and victorious. But we got to give Him something to work with. We got to have the Word in our lives. Amen. So He has a sword to fight with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I learned this, man. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Because when I got saved, not all my friends left me alone, man. They were determined I was coming back. They were going to get their lost sheep back into the fold. Yes, sir. Amen. And I had to stand my ground. I remember one time one of them came over. He come to get me. He's going to physically remove me from my house to go with them to go party. And he was big enough to do it. Here's what I found out. If you'll be the peer pressure instead of, people about peer pressure, you got to be the peer pressure. I gave him a little book called I Went to Hell. I thought, go read this, and I'll let you know why I'm not going to go out and party with you. I'm not going to hell. Amen. You can sing about the highway to hell all you want to, guys, tonight, but I'm not going. I'm on the highway to heaven. Ain't stopping now. Amen. So we've got to know God intimately. We can't just be satisfied like too many believers are with just getting born again. Getting born again is the meeting place. It's the getting on place. You're just getting started. Praise God. It's a great start. Amen. It's a great blessing. But don't stop there. Keep coming to church. Keep getting fed the Word of God. Keep feeding yourself the Word. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, I don't understand it all. Well, you won't right away. You won't. You just keep feeding on it, amen. You keep reading it, and the Holy Spirit will start giving you more understanding, amen. So don't get discouraged because I started reading the Bible, I don't understand all that. Well, I didn't either. I just kept reading it, and reading it, and the Spirit began revealing it to me. He didn't reveal everything to you at once, but he'll get it over to you. It's his job to lead you in all the truth. And some of that will come when you come to church and you get somebody preaches to you. You know, one of us preach to you. You know, the Holy Spirit anoints us and we'll say things that'll help you. Amen. Well, that was weak, but we will. We'll say, every now and then we'll say something to play, I hope. But, you know, God's got ways of getting it across to you and answering questions. I don't know how many times I've had people say, man, that answered a question I had. Well, the Holy Ghost answered your question. He knew. Amen. Let's all stand up. Thank God for the word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.